Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The McNeil and Parkin Show.
I was listening to the McNeil and Parkin Show.
Afternoons on the Score.
Buddy Ryan created the 46 defense. It was a complex scheme with a simple aim. Attack the quarterback with overwhelming numbers.
White will throw on first down. And goes to Drew Pearson. And Pearson is rocked by Doug Plank. Off the center is really a good one. Here's a handoff. They go the other way. Look at him. Doug Plank hits him. But you pay when you hit the Earl. This time Campbell's a little slow getting
out. Zarkowitz, lots of time. And it is intercepted by Ellis.
You're going to see a hit on Mel Gray. That is unbelievable by number 46, Doug Plank.
The 46 defense was as physical and as nasty as you want to get.
Brings in motion. Here comes the bear blitz. Garano goes down. The ball's on the ground. Doug Plank came in to hit Glenn Garano.
Did he level him? And the Chicago Bears have the ball once again. First down.
Now look from the right of your screen. He comes from outside in a safety blitz. And look at the jolt that he took.
Those two Bears safety men, both fine tackle.
Tough. Guy's bleeding at the mouth. The guy's bleeding at the nose. You don't have to kill the guy. We don't care. He's the quarterback. We're going to get him. That's what we do.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
Now I'm ready for football season. After that compilation of highlights, some great voices in there. Pat Summerall, Johnny Morris, you heard Mike Singletary, and some guys who got leveled by our next guest. Mel Gray among them. My favorite, Jimmy Giles, of course. That's a top tenner in Bears history. Former Bears safety Doug Plank joining us right now on the Score Sports Radio 670. How are you, Doug? Everything good in your world today, bud?
Hey, I feel so lucky to make the list, even though it was at the back end. It's okay.
Yeah, you are on the list.
I'm honored to be amongst these guys.
There's no such thing as a back end of a list that's 100 names for a franchise that's 100 years old, man. That is some elite company. And I know you were back in town this past fall. I think you went to the Patriots game at Soldier Field. How cool is it for you to still have so many fans? And Bear Man helps you with wearing that 46 jersey. But how cool is it, Doug, all these years that have passed and people still love you?
It's so flattering. I mean, I still receive every week I receive football photos, anything with Bears on it, you know, sign it, send it back, take pictures with people. You know, every time I try to get to Chicago, I try to go out of my way to just try to meet up with friends and people that are huge Bear fans. And no, it's so flattering. I mean, I would walk down the street. No one's going to mistake me for an NFL player, I promise you. In fact, most times when I show up for events, they can't believe it's actually me because they were expecting somebody bigger and stronger. And I have shrunk 2 inches because of all the joint replacements I've had.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I say football, gosh, it's given me so much in my life.
So let me guess, that puts you now at about 5'10" without the 2 inches. And when you played,
yes.
You never got to 200 pounds when you played, I don't think, which is
I was right about at 200 pounds. And you know, you think about it, you know, even at 200 pounds and you get it moving about 20 miles an hour, you can do some damage. And I damage myself sometimes, but I tell you, every person I ever met that I played against, they remember who I was because I was extracting pain and suffering every game. It's funny, you guys were talking about how football is a process and how it's changed over the years. And it's absolutely true. I mean, when I played, it was like driving without any seatbelts. I mean, you were allowed to do everything. You could hit receivers downfield if the ball wasn't thrown. Defensive linemen were allowed to do head slaps. I remember every time we got an interception, the guy with the ball was on his own. The other 10 guys went and hit the quarterback. I mean, you were extracting blood and pain out of the other team. And that's what it was. It was demolition derby on a 100-yard field.
Doug, I think I know where you're going to answer this one. Then how do you feel when you hear today that the NFL has asked teams to stop with the Oklahoma drill?
You know, it's changed so much. I mean, and I really, I look at things in life other than sports, and everything's a process in terms of changing and making it better, maybe more entertaining. And I'm just amazed at some of the athletes, the things that they can do, you know, at the safety position. You know, it isn't now just about crunching, you know, running backs. You know, back when I played, you lined up 12 yards, you stared at the center and the guards, and the moment they stepped across the line of scrimmage, you were off like a race car, and you were getting to the line of scrimmage, and you were hitting anybody you could, the running back, the guards, the linemen, it didn't even matter. And you were just taking people out. I remember a lot of times walking off Soldier Field, and we had lost the game. But Gary Fensick and I looked at each other and said, man, that was so much fun. We destroyed that team. And, you know, the running backs, the receivers, it was a different mindset.
Hey, our guest, Shep, was drafted the year I started playing high school football. And I could speak to this. You watch it on Sunday afternoons, and they didn't post a lot of victories, only a couple of playoff appearances in the entire decade of the 70s, which is remarkable when you consider some of the individual talent. But they – man, you guys inspired a lot of young kids in Chicagoland by the way you went after it. And anytime your name comes up, everybody thinks about Gary Fensick and then some of the others. And it leads us to conversation about this very difficult assignment of coming up with the top 100 players. If you had a vote, Doug Plank, who would be your number one Bear in franchise history based on what he did as a football player?
I know. I'll say this. I mean, being on defense, obviously, the opportunity to go to the Chicago Bears after Dick Butkus, I mean, you know, that was like the icon. But, you know, I had a unique experience. My first year in 75 was with another guy. There was another rookie in 1975, and that guy's name was Walter Payton. And I had a chance to room with him early in the year. They put him in alphabetical order. Nobody really knew each other. And I saw him do things that I've never seen anybody else do. He could punt. He could throw. You know, if he wanted to play safety, he would have been an all-pro safety. He could have done everything. He's strong, explosive, and he just never stopped. So I really have to think Walter Payton, he's the most dynamic player and someone that you saw just do sacrifice. I mean, he'd go in that weight room and put everything on the max weight. And he would just go around and do bench press, overhead press, leg extension. It didn't matter. He was the most dynamic football player I've ever seen.
In looking at it there, Doug, you obviously have the memories of yesteryear and great ones with that with Walter. How close do you pay attention to this squad still?
Well, I do pay attention because I'm still doing broadcasting on national radio. So that last year's game with the Patriots, I actually did that game on national radio. And I pay attention to a lot. I'm so impressed with their defense, and especially after Khalil Mack arrived. And, you know, it's an example, though. You know, whatever any defensive back has ever done, he needs to look at the line, the Dan Hamptons of the world, the Mike Singletaries. Those guys up front are what makes defensive backs. And when Khalil Mack came to the Bears, I'll tell you what, he improved the secondary tremendously because now all of a sudden – there's no quarterback sitting back in the pocket looking over the field 1,001, you know, up to 5 or 6 seconds. No. So, you know, the bottom line is, you know, the Bears, that they are so impressive now. They're so much fun to watch. And it's fun going around the country seeing all this enthusiasm. Arizona, where I live right now, this is the western suburbs for Chicago. I mean, there's a lot of Chicago people out here. I got people on both sides of me are from Chicago. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's a dynamic that is really affecting the whole country.
There was a culture change in Lake Forest, one that was needed. And there, it's not the first time one has been needed. You in your career and some of your teammates, you had to endure some old school thinking that was dated. And I sometimes wonder how far the Bears could have gone under a different ownership group, because it often was an us against them mentality, whether they Bears played at Wrigley Field or when you guys moved in to Soldier Field. There wasn't a lot of harmony between ownership and the rank and file, Doug.
No, there wasn't. You know, and the other thing is there wasn't even any harmony between the offense and the defense. Just to go to practice, Ryan, every day, you know, I tell people, listen, when you played back in those days, you went to every practice like it was a game. You got everything taped up. You got pads on. You know why? Because a game could break out at any moment during the practice. But, you know, you're absolutely right. I think the whole dynamic of the mindset as far as ownership and the general managers and everything are thinking now way beyond just winning a game or two here and there. It's about, you know, winning a division and winning a championship. And, you know, just the dynamics, you go back and look at 1985. Heck, you know, those Bears teams are still being talked about everywhere you go. I mean, you it's hard to be in a football environment and not have somebody bring up that 85 team. So, you know, I think the Bears are trying to do everything they can to get back to that situation.
And mentioning the culture change, Matt Nagy largely responsible for that this past year. You spent time with him in the arena days. Did you take away your time with him thinking that's going to be a guy that's going to be coaching on an NFL sideline one day?
You know what? I don't think anybody in the Arena Football League, whether you're a coach, although Jay Gruden's made the transition into being a head coach in the NFL, but I don't think anybody in that league really thought, hey, listen, you know, if I'm a player, I'm going to be playing in the NFL. If I'm a coach, I'm going to be coaching in the NFL. I just think, you know, everybody that was in that league at the time was enjoying it for what it was worth. You know, Matt was a good quarterback. I mean, he came in and led us the championship in that Arena Football League. So, and he didn't start out the starter. He came in as the, you know, second man up and did a phenomenal job. He's a smart guy. He learns lessons, and he's a great communicator. And this is one thing I still feel that coaches, it isn't about your knowledge. There's a lot of great professors out there that can't coach because they have no communication skills. And I'm around coaches all the time. I'm telling you one thing. Teams lose games because of coaches. You can blame it on the players, but, you know, many times it gets down to it was a bad scheme. It was a bad plan going into the game. So the coaches have to accept responsibility for it. And I'm sorry. You know, I've been a coach. I've been a player. I think more responsibility is on the coaches. And Matt Nagy has great communication skills. He has the ability, just the fun things he does at practice. It just breaks things up. It makes the players want to play for him. I'm so impressed with what Matt has done. And like I said, I can't say enough about him. He was a great player for me as a coach, and I appreciate watching him be successful in the NFL.
Talking football with Doug Plank on the Score, good old number 46, who's on the Bears' top 100 players list. He played college football for Woody Hayes at Ohio State, on those teams with Archie Griffin for the back-to-back Heismans, and a longtime member of the Bears. Give us some specifics of some of the leadership and communication skills you exhibited from Matt en route to that championship in the Arena League.
Well, you know what? Anytime the starter is knocked out, you know, everybody says, oh, no. They breathe this big sigh. Oh, no, here comes the backup. Our intention on defense was always to knock the first-team quarterback out so they could bring in the second guy. You know, sometimes he's your worst nightmare because he comes into the game and he starts doing things that were totally unexpected. And I think that's what Matt is really good at, taking advantage of the opportunity. And here's the other thing, too. It's not just about him. I don't think Matt Nagy has an ego at all. He looks at things and he analyzes it and said, how can I make this better? What can I do? Who can I bring in? What coach, what players could make a difference on this football team? And you look at what he's done already. He's lived that life. He's been able to make those decisions, bring in people that are going to be successful, that are going to change the mindset. I'm telling you right now, I just felt like there was a terrible mindset up there at the Chicago Bears until Matt arrived, and he brought energy and enthusiasm and all the sort of things you talk about and read about in articles, but he put it into real life, and he made it part of the atmosphere and the whole just general attitude at the Chicago Bear facility.
You mentioned it there a little bit, player coaching. You've been on both sides of it. Tell me what it means for the players, what it means for the defense overall to see Vic Fangio out to take over with the Denver Broncos as their head coach and Chuck Pagano coming in.
Well, I think, you know, Chuck, his record speaks for itself, and I think what he's going to be able to do defensively, and that I'm not saying their defense last year was phenomenal. I thought they did an incredible job of turnaround from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. They really started playing together. You could just tell the players were playing with confidence. And here's the other thing, too. Coaches have to give players the ability to go ahead and make decisions on the field. you know, rather than playing safe and conservative, you have to give those players an opportunity to be aggressive. You know, I'm not saying it turns into the 85 Bears or anything, but you have to be able to trust your players and teach them during the week what's going to happen so that when that occurs in the game, they can go ahead and react. They're not cautious. They're not tentative. And they don't think they're going to get yelled at Monday morning. They can go out and play aggressively, and that's what the Bears have done.
Doug, great to catch up with you. Are you going to be in town this coming season? Do you have any plans to?
Of course. You know, I'm looking forward to coming in for the celebration, you know, in June. And, you know, one thing I love about football, you know, because I really didn't have a great career at Ohio State until I got to Chicago Bears, and somebody gave me a chance, an opportunity. So I just feel like I owe so much to the Chicago Bears because they changed my life. And every opportunity I get to come back and represent the team, I'm glad to do it.
That's awesome. And a lot of Bears fans who remember your career have been texting us, and they say thanks for the memories. I'm one of them. Doug, always good catching up. Thanks. Have a great day, man.
Thanks, guys.
That's Doug Plank, good old number 46 on the top 100 list.
Yeah.
It's the safety dance hour. He was a safety, and Eddie Jackson's a safety. He'll be on in about a half an hour.
Yeah,
so.
You wanted football talk. You need to scratch your NFL and football itch, and that's exactly what we're going to do. Yeah, you can check out our guest just now, Doug Plank, and many other Bears, Brian Urlacher, Dan Hampton, Dick Butkus, Mike Singletary, Mike Ditka, Richard Clutch. Dent, plenty of others as well. June 7th and 9th, that's the Bears 100 Celebration Weekend. Donald E. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. ChicagoBears.com/Celebration Weekend for details on tickets to that.
Love the Stevens Convention Center. An opportunity to use the Human Habit Trail. I love that. Over River Road, that's fun. Texter says, who's going to vote for anybody besides Peyton at number one? Who would be a number two? Actually, there are arguments for guys at number two.
Yes, there are. We were talking about this before we went on with Lawrence and transitioned with him. It's like it felt like it was Walter to me, and then what's the race for number two? Probably going to be Butkus. If I had to put money on it, I would guess that Butkus gets unveiled as number two, as the greatest Bear of all time.
I think a lot of people will feel that way. I don't have Butkus as the number one linebacker in Bears history. I have Urlacher ahead of Dick Butkus. Yes. But, I mean, it's all how you slice this
well,
up.
Well, I mean, it's
William
also
Perry's
like,
in the top 25. That's the joke.
Yeah. I mean, if you're talking iconic Bears, he's up there with just about any one of them. But in terms of actual best players on the Bears, and no, get off my list. Fridge. You think Parko's wearing his Fridge Perry shirt around
does
Barcelona?
Does he have a fridge?
Oh, yeah. I think that he was parading on his honeymoon with his Fridge shirt on.
Fridge. I mean, I just... In you know, Wally Chambers was a better defensive lineman than Fridge was. He checks in on the list, but he's number 50 freaking eight. Julius Peppers is right behind at number 59. Julius Peppers did more on the field for the Bears than William Perry did. William Perry is in there exclusively for being a celebrity. He was more of a celebrity than he was a football player.
Yeah, and he gets the carry on Monday Night Football against the Packers and the touchdown carry against the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Like, without those two, and you're going to tell me because he ran for 3 yards on those two carries and two scores that that's why you have to put him in the top 25 of that list? Seems a little absurd to me. I need some help with Khalil Mack being 60 on this list after 1 year.
Too soon?
Well, I guess I kind of look at it and like, okay, you put Khalil Mack that high because the Bears top 100, that'll be referenced a decade from now, 15 years from now. Oh, it was a Bears list, and it'll be, people will talk about this and look it up and whatnot. So it's okay, got to get Khalil Mack on there. I get that. But then Julius Peppers only one spot above him at the same time.
Yeah.
It's like Julius Peppers was a force on that defense for year after year. And they didn't ultimately win anything. But God, that defense went from being pretty good to, again, one of the best in the league while he was here.
That's not very respectful of what Peppers did. And I was considered to be a Peppers detractor. I think I liked him more than people thought that I did. But certainly, he was here for a long enough period of time to be more than one slot ahead of a guy who played in 13 and a half games last year.
Yeah, that's kind of confusing.
And
to
one
me.
Of them on one foot.
Like, I was kind of making fun of the Eddie Jackson thing when it first came out of like, you're going to put a Bear that's only played for 2 years in it? There's no way that no chance in hell you're going to actually see Khalil Mack on it.
Then impactful sure enough, season.
It's yeah, very impactful. Yeah, change the direction of an entire franchise no, and, the second and, thing he was dealt for.
Here's another. I didn't even check this one earlier. If you're talking defensive linemen in the argument about Perry, you got Akeem Hicks and Tommy Harris are both in the 70s. Tommy Harris was one of the best defensive tackles in the league for a short period of time, wasn't he? Perry was never that.
Yeah, from the second Tommy Harris stepped in 2004 through when his hamstring went out in 2006, he's as good a defensive tackle as there was in the league.
Yeah.
The guy was a monster.
Yeah.
You notice how much they missed him as that year went on.
Right. Texter says, I know you guys don't like him, but the fact Cutler was so low on this list is a joke. I totally agree. 312 Texter. Yeah, he's 85th. That's ridiculous. That's hideous. We discussed that yesterday with Hub. Hub said Bill Wade wasn't even a good quarterback on the championship team. All I knew is the name, and he doesn't have any records, hardly. He scored both touchdowns in their exciting 14-10
win over
the Giants.
Sounds like a thrilling football when your quarterback scoring your rushing touchdowns.
Yeah,
so sign us up for that.
We agree. There's absolutely no reason for Jay Cutler to be as low as he is.
Like when you get the list, you get the, yes, Jay Cutler, 85th best bear, get out of here. He should be significantly higher. But then you get the people that misremember what Cutler was as well. Because, he had no offense around him, and it gets the excuse tree that we made in 2009 gets lit up again. Cutler could have been a top 20 bear of all time. He's the best quarterback this team's ever seen.
It's fresh bulbs!
He was an average quarterback in the NFL. He just happens to be the tallest short person of Bears quarterbacks.
Well done. Nicely done there, Shep. Very PC. This hour of the show is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards. Number 39, Alabama. Eddie Jackson coming up in a few minutes as we continue our safety dance. Cubs and Phillies later tonight right here on The Score.
With the 112th pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select
Eddie Jackson, Alabama.
All right, thank you, man. Roll Tide.
Here's the throw. He's picked up, and there he goes. Eddie Jackson to the house at the 10-5 end zone. Touchdown. And for the second week in a row, Eddie Jackson's in the house on a pick six.
Six defensive touchdown by your 2018 Bears. Eddie Jackson quickly becoming the playmaker on that defense.
Rodgers. End zone throw, and it's intercepted. And it's Eddie Jackson who said it's personal.
Listen to this crowd. Trubisky takes the snap, takes a knee. They head to the field. The Bears have won it 24-17 over the Green Bay Packers. And it's been an anguishing absence from the playoffs. 7 years, 11 months, 27 days. They go last to first, and they win the NFC North 2018 Division Champions.
Yeah, it was a fun ride last fall. Hopefully even extends into late winter this coming football season. Glad you're with us on The Score Sports Radio 670. And Nick Shepkowski and I are glad to have the company of our next guest, Bears safety Eddie Jackson, the highlight master, joining us. How are you, Eddie? Thanks for the time. Everything good?
I'm good. Thank you, Max, for having me.
Oh, you bet. You're already 2 years on the job, and you are etched into the Bears' top 100 players of all time. That is high praise in short order. How do you feel about that?
Oh, man, I feel amazing. You know, it's such a big blessing, man. Like I said, it was shocking to even see myself, you know, named with all those greats and all the legends and, you know, especially with the Bears' tradition and history. So I was very honored for that.
Do you have any players from yesteryear who are among your favorites, either because you watched them when you were a kid or you've seen video, gotten to know guys? Who are some ex-Bears who you really like to watch or talk about?
I mean, Peanut Timlin, Brian Urlacher. Who else we got?
All those old-timers.
Yeah, there's a couple guys. there's a couple guys, so. It's death, man. It's just a blessing to even share a list with those type of guys.
You're 96th on this list, but your defensive coordinator today, Chuck Pagano, compared you to a guy named Ed Reed. I mean, what do you think when you hear you, of all people, Eddie Jackson, being compared to one of the greatest to ever play the position? How does that make you feel?
Uh, Oh, man, that makes me feel great, man. Like, you know, that's my favorite safety. You know, a lot of guys love Sean Taylor, and I love Sean Taylor as well. But, you know, a guy I looked up to was Ed Reed, and just even compared to him, man, it just gives me that confidence. All right, keep working. One day you can be as great as him, if not even better. So, and for Coach Pagano to come and coach that guy and come in and have that high praise in me, is, you know, I feel very honored for that.
What are your early impressions of Chuck Pagano, Eddie?
We love him, man. You know, we love him, man. Me personally, I love him. You know, his enthusiasm, his energy he brings, and, you know, it's just the brain and the smarts that he's bringing to our defense, the different play calls and moving guys around. And, you know, we're just happy. You know, we're just happy we got another guy that's kind of like Vic, you know, who can put us in positions to make plays and let us play to our strength and don't hold us back. So we're just really excited for the season.
How hard is it? I mean, your first 2 years in the league, Vic Fangio, one of the most respected defensive coordinators, he gets replaced by a guy that's been a head coach, is very well respected across the league. How hard is it from a player's perspective to have a new coach in that position, in that role?
I mean, it's kind of tough. It's kind of different, you know, but like I said, with the track record Coach Pagano has, man, he really don't question too many things. You know, you just go in there, you try to buy into it and trust the process, and then when we go out like today, yesterday, OTAs, and you see that the things he's putting in really works, then your confidence levels start to go up a notch. And I feel like it's going to increase every week when we translate it over from the film room to the walkthroughs and to, you know, between the lines, really going 110. So, you know, I love it, man. And right now it's been fun and just learning everything. It's a little different, but it's definitely fun. It's something.
You guys looked like you were having too much fun on Monday. On Monday Fun Day, which was I saw the website, every picture there. I haven't seen that many Bears smiling in a long, long time. I mean, that was what were some of the fun activities? Share it with your fans.
Oh man, it was a lot of fun activities. You know, trying to hit the crossbar. If you ever play like beer pong, we had like a basketball pong. You know, the balance, the baseball bat from sideline to sideline. Even the coaches got a tool. You know, coaches had to do gassers. You know, four gassers across the field, and you know, just things like that. Who can punt the farthest? You know, eating the crackers, six crackers. It was like six saltine crackers. It was crazy. We really enjoyed it, man. It's like I said, Coach Nagy, man. He does a great job of keeping us on our toes. Never know what you're gonna expect, and just for him to have that relationship he has with all his players, it just shows you why he had the success he had in his first year, and you know, in the future to come, man, it's gonna be a bright one.
Eddie, you can tell us. No one's listening. Which coach needs to be in the weight room a little bit more?
I really don't know. Everybody looks pretty fit.
Eddie, you mentioned the fun there in the locker room. June 15th, an opportunity for fans to be a part of that. Your inaugural offense versus defense charity softball game out at the Schaumburg Boomer Stadium. Should be a fun night. What are all the details to that?
Oh, man, it's definitely going to be fun. You know, we actually confirmed one of the guys, you know, Clear, he's going to be there as a participant. And we got some more guys coming, but, you know, it's going to be something. You know, Father's Day weekend, you know, it's a great, you know, gift to celebrate Father's Day if you want to, you know, help raise money, you know, to different foundations, also to my foundation, Remain in Reach. And, you know, it's just some way we can come out, interact with our fans, just give them a show, and, you know, also for us to build more team bonding off the field.
That seems to be important to this group, and that might have been a little bit elusive for some of your predecessors up there. This team seems to really, really like being with one another, and I know that's cliche, but it's not always true.
Yeah. I mean, us, man, it's different. You know, and I haven't been, like I said, I've been in the locker room my first year. It was kind of, you know, weird. And compared to last year, it reminds you of college. You know, guys really, you know, like playing with each other, like playing for one another. You know, even spending time outside. You know, guys just went, they had a paintball tournament when that was Monday, you know, with each other. So it's different things like that, man. When you can build those type of relationships, it makes you want to lay it all on the line for each other. It makes you want to go out there and play for one another, you know, so we want to continue to do these things, man. We, like I said, it's going to be a great one, man. Great weekend. You know, we got a home run derby between the teammates. You know, it's going to be fun.
So you have a baseball background? I mean, are you a long ball hitter? I imagine you're a safety. You play some center field. What's your baseball resume?
I played baseball when I was younger. You know, I played shortstop, center field, a little pitcher, you know, and I hit a few, you know, the deep balls out here and there, but that was a while ago. But I think I'm a homer type of hitter.
Nice. Yeah, just like on the gridiron. I bet Khalil Mack could pretty much do whatever he wants on a softball diamond as well. And, you know, we were all amazed with the transformation his presence did for your defense, Eddie. But I thought that because of that, something that got lost in the shuffle last year was how well the first year player with almost no training camp experience in Roquan Smith adjusted. He only plays 8 plays opening night against Green Bay, and he winds up leading your team in tackles, acting like he'd been there for the entire training camp, and he was a veteran player. How much did he impress you in his first season?
Oh man, it was a very impressive season. And we seen it. We knew what type of guy we had. You know, even coming in OTAs as before he missed training camp. Was he there OTA? I think he was there OTAs, right? Yeah, he was there OTAs, and just to see the way he approached it. You know, he approaches it like a vet. You know, he's one of those guys, man. I say he's different. You know, he's more different than rookies. He comes in, he's humble, he's quiet. He approaches the game as a vet. You know, he doesn't take everything too jokey. He takes it serious. And he played for Coach Smart, you know, and played in the SEC. So that's one of the best divisions to play in, you know, from my standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see the athleticism that he has as a linebacker is just truly amazing. Like you said, 8 plays. You go from 8 plays first game, and how many plays he made within those 8 was crazy. So, I mean, you just knew you had something special.
Yeah, you mentioned the SEC there. One of your fellow Tidesmen, HaHa Clinton Dix. What was the recruitment of him like? I'm guessing it didn't take a whole lot to say, hey, you want to come play for one of the best defenses in the league?
Yeah, exactly right. You know, and that's my boy. You know, he's been a fan. You know, he's been in my corner since, you know, I stepped foot in Alabama, you know, and just to send me little feedback on my film, even my rookie year, and even my last year, you tell me, man, you've been doing great. And when we seen him, you know, me and Mitch just really went in there. You know, we talked to him and they told him, like, man, I told him, like, man, this is like Bama defense. Like, we got a bunch of dogs. And he's like, man, I know we got a bunch of dogs. And Mitch told him, man, we want you here. And, you know, that's the quarterback. You know, that's the face of, you know, everything. So when a quarterback comes in there and tell you he wants you, man, it's like it plays big. And then you got me coming in. And I mean, he was on board. You know, like I said, it really didn't take too much. He was already on board. And he said he wanted to come play for a team like this. And told him the type of guy Coach Nagy was. He has to go out there, have fun, plays with swag, and he really wants us to play. It's a difference when the coach tell you something, and, you know, you go out there and do it. It's different, but, you know, he was all on board.
Roll damn tide.
Absolutely. Fellow Tidesman. Very nice. Eddie, great visiting with you this afternoon. Thanks so much. Congratulations on what's been a remarkable start to your NFL career and for landing yourself in the top 100 of Bears all-time players. That is an incredible accomplishment, and you don't earn it without a lot of hard work. So have a great event at your charity deal, and we'll be in touch, and thanks for the visit, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you guys for having me, man. And everyone, come out, man. Come out and come, you know, share some time with the Bears player, man. It's going to be a fun one.
That's Eddie Jackson. Thank you for your time. And that's June 15th, BoomersBaseball.com for all of the details out of the Schaumburg Boomers Stadium. 5:05 first pitch for that. The Home Run Derby going on with that as well. As Eddie just said, Khalil Mack, you can go see him hit some bombs and the offense take on the defense, all for a very good cause on June 15th, Father's Day weekend out in Schaumburg.
Eddie Jax was with us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles from which to choose. Your fellow Tidesman.
You like that?
Oh, that's wordsmithing right there, fella.
Man,
your fellow
4 years of college paid off.
Tidesman. I wonder if anybody anywhere ever has ever said that to a former Alabama player when talking to him about one of his teammates in college. You know, your fellow Tidesman.
Your fellow
just
Tidesman.
Signed a free,
what else would you call him?
A lucrative free agent pact.
A lot more fun to call him a fellow Tidesman than your fellow NFLer. Oh, just your generic teammate.
That's
Fellow Tidesman.
Fellow Tidesman works for me, man. I'm saying that's good. I'm going to remember that.
I thought we all agreed on Bama Boys Mob for those two.
I guess that's the part of it. Next time we have Eddie Jackson on, next year when he's promoting this very event, because it's sure to be a great one, no doubt about it, we will call him the Bama Boy Mob. Bama Boys Mob. Easy for me to say.
Why don't you sit this one out, Chad?
Oh, boy.
Was it improvised or is that in your notes? Is fellow Tidesman in your chicken scratch notes there, or is that improvised?
It was improvised.
Javi Baez is back in the lineup for the Cubs tonight. He'll hit cleanup and play shortstop as they continue against the Phillies. Good one last night.
Magnifico
indeed, Zach Zabin. He hit you with the entire call in a little bit. And also our conversation with Cubs boss Theo Epstein will share with you shortly after 5 o'clock. It's McNeil with Shep, a fellow Tidesman indeed, on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Back we are, the McNeil and Parkin Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Glad you're with us this afternoon. Shep sitting in. He's my fellow scoresman this afternoon. Just moving the meters until 6 o'clock, until Matt Spiegel's Cubs and Phillies pregame.
Well, Spiegel, it's until Mark Grody, and then until...
Oh, that's right. That's right. I'm sorry.
Last night was the one where
Spiegel
was right after.
Yes, that was the shorty. That's right.
Pretty good debut for Spiegs, huh?
I thought he did real well, yes.
Magnifico!
I thought he was magnifico!
Pretty big, and fun for him, obviously. Was thrilled to be broadcasting from the booth, doing official pregame, official postgame, and all that. Then he gets a hell of a game to get to talk about afterwards.
Somebody who was dealing with the anthem singer apparently gave people cues because she wasn't ready yet. It was somebody from the Chicago Police Department last night, and she really belted it, too. It was a good version of the national anthem, but speaks. Announced her, and then she wasn't ready, so he did a very nice job of buying himself 15 very deftly spent seconds. He was doing some wordsmithing like you. He's a fellow scoresman.
Fellow baseballman, whatever you want him to be. He's a fellow man of that. That's a tough broadcast to do if you have to change any time, too, because the amount of reads, the amount of spots, and you are on a very... hard clock, 35 minutes in and out. You're not given an extra second.
It is well sold.
Go figure. Yeah. Cubs baseball, people want to line up to listen to that.
The period at the end of my last sentence was sponsored by Rental Mac, Chicagoland's equipment rental. Contractors or industrial businesses, you need to rent reliable equipment tomorrow. Visit or call one of their 8 Chicago area locations staffed with experienced rental equipment experts. And Rental Mac will deliver to your site on time, on budget. Visit rentalmax.com. We had Teddy Greenstein from the Tribune in here yesterday, and I really enjoy reading Teddy. I enjoy his company on the air an awful lot. I enjoy hanging around with Teddy off the air on occasion. He's been known to, we played a few rounds of golf together over the years, hung out a time or two.
Have you played golf and not wound up in the newspaper with him?
Yes. I think I have. Yes. Social golf, right, where he's not writing down my profanity or anything like that, or quoting which movies I'm quoting, writing those things down.
But that wouldn't be any different than playing a normal round of golf with
pretty much.
Curving
you're
fryers
right.
And Caddyshack drops, and you're good to go.
You should have fun on a golf course. That's why it's there. But his statement yesterday was off-putting, and I called him on it, but maybe not harshly enough. When he said of the White Sox, be more interesting regarding coverage, I kind of get that. I don't have the numbers he might have access to regarding how slow their site traffic is for White Sox coverage, but you're the Chicago effing Tribune, man. You're the world's greatest newspaper. That's what you used to call yourself, and they are a major market team. Salute. Yes, thank you. I didn't even catch that. That's not acceptable.
Is it not, though?
No.
In the day of newspapers and the newspapers struggling and less subscribers and more people reading online.
I think likening to the White Sox to the University of Illinois is really, really low rent. That's a shot.
If it might be a shot, but if that's what their viewership is in terms of page views and in terms of interest in it, what else is he supposed to describe it as?
Well, it almost like, bit is there, him is last there... night. I was hoping Verlander would have no-hit him just so the Tribune didn't have staff coverage at Minute Maid Park or whatever they're calling it this year. Is it still Minute Maid?
I think it's still Minute Maid. Yeah. I believe that's it.
It's like, I don't want to see the White Sox get no-hit, but the Tribune would look really stupid.
I mean, it'd look really dumb if it was a Sox pitcher that threw it, but I mean, it's just... I have trouble jumping on Teddy for saying that because he's obviously saying that from a place of knowledge. He wouldn't just throw that out there.
I know. And we, you know, it's just the, like, that's the thing that I thought always separated newspaper from what we do here. They in journalism have to be more interested in balance than we are here. Rather, I don't know. It's just maybe the journalism background in me that makes me feel that way. But, certainly, it's not our job to create interest. It's to reflect it. But I still think you have a major league, you know, would we not do the scores? A buddy said they didn't even have a box score in the damn paper yesterday, and I didn't look to confirm that.
Well, was that maybe because not, did the game run late?
I don't think so. Obviously, no, they got tucked to bed pretty quickly Monday night, didn't they?
Because if I remember right, Monday's Cubs-Phillies game wasn't in the Tuesday Sun Times. There wasn't a box score of that. I believe there was only a Sox box score in that one. But I just don't think Teddy says that unless it comes from a place of truth. Like, he wouldn't just throw that out there. And, I mean, the White Sox...
Yeah, that was harsh. Tanny, were you put off by it? You're a Sox fan.
I get it, because where he's coming from, he's, like, representing the newspaper on our airwaves, so I think he's going to try to put a good spin on it. But I also believe him when he says that they're not interesting. Like, you know, no one is a bigger fan of them than I am, and I agree, they're not interesting. But to not... have someone there from the Tribune.
From the Chicago, right?
Like, and plus, yeah. Also, like, you got to think of it, you know, I'm not a businessman, but I would think about it in more of a context, not just on click views, but how do you maintain relationships with people in the organization over time if you don't send anyone there to cover while they're on the road? Like, you know, I don't know, you know, breaking stories is not really a huge thing anymore. Everyone kind of gets it around the same time, but it's about maintaining those relationships, like, over the long haul of the season. I don't see how they don't see value in that.
I think the Sox would hold it against them, maybe. Sox been known to carry a grudge. No.
Would never guess such a thing.
Never. This hour has been brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves in San Diego are tied one game apiece in the Western Conference Finals. The Wolves return home Monday for Game 6 at Allstate Arena. Tickets start at $15 for playoff and ticket information. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. I've been reading it this way all day. Can we check and see if this is accurate? It seems like if they've only played two games, they got to get a lot of work done real fast before they get home for Game 6 on Monday. You're going to be playing three nights in a row. We'll take a timeout. We're going to share with you our conversation with Cubs boss Theo Epstein from the first hour of the program coming up in a few minutes on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.